All right, cool. What are you doing this time?
Gary, are you familiar with the Bernoulli the distribution?
No.
Are you familiar with Plinko?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with Plinko.
So, it's that arc.
Yeah, if you drop a bunch of small objects down into the center of a bunch of pegs, 50% go one way, 50% go the other every time, and then it makes the arc. So they're gonna favor the center, but go out there.
It's pretty weird that that has a name, as if like boards of pegs ever existed in real life. Like, as if we didn't invent that for Plinko.
or Pachinko. I guess for gaming purposes, games of skill and chance. One of the classic randomizations here. So each of the little slots at the end has a game in it. I'm going to have you drop this puck down, and we're going to see where it goes.
Yeah, seems like it's likely to go in that middle. Yeah. And let me drop.
All right. Look at it go. It's
Plinko.
Yep. No, that's a nothing to do at this point, but watch it and see where it settles. Yeah. No, just there it is.
Man, The Price is Right is still a good show. It's like a pretty good show.
It's one of the real casualties of not having cable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose you could watch best of compilations, but you really got to watch it from front to back.
Yeah, it probably doesn't feel great just to hit the greatest hits of The Price is Right. I bought an old-timey radio that had the ability to tune into TV stations.
Oh.
For just the audio of it. And apparently that was a service that was offered until shockingly late, like in Portland, until something like 2007.
Okay.
You could tune a radio to a certain station that would play the audio from TV. Like, you'd flip it to TV, and then you could change the channel and just get the audio from television. And my plan was to just listen to The Price is Right while I, like, clean the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that sounds fun. But, yeah, now it's just static. I missed my boat by, like, 15 years.
Huh. That sounds like special frequency for the visually impaired. Actually,
yes. Yeah. I mean, that could have been, I can't remember the original purpose of it. I read about it when I first did that a long time ago. But Price is Right. It's still Plinkoing. This, you got a very long Plinko board.
It might be the world's longest, actually. It's really cold up here where it starts.
It probably doesn't make a lot of sense as like a gambling thing, because it takes a long time to see if you've won. And you really want people to put a lot of Plinko things in there.
You really do. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. Well, let's ride the tram down to the bottom.
All right.
See what it is. Okay.
It's tram time.
It landed in The Wacky World of Miniature Golf, featuring Eugene Levy.
No. Not featuring Eugene Levy.
Absolutely featuring Eugene Levy.
Is Eugene Levy leavened bread at anything?
I think that he might be a Jewish person. So,
you think?
I think that it might be leavened most times, except for like a 1 week out of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You think?
This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
Welcome now to Suffering, the companion podcast to the hit show Object Suffering, where celebrities put inanimate objects through psychologically grueling tests.
Sounds something out of control. This week is very special because I did some work, Gary. This is a Cole pick. And I decided it had been a long time since I revisited and, saw about emulating some of the white whales of the show. Systems like the Jaguar, the 3DO, and in this case, the CDI. And I spent a few hours this past weekend figuring out how to make this happen. And so, Gary, this is our first CDI game. The Wacky World of Miniature Golf. A real weird and just preternaturally frustrating game.
Yeah, awful. I really felt like there was a floor on how bad a miniature golf game could be, similar to how there's a floor on kart racing.
Uh-huh.
Like, I love miniature golf. I adore miniature golf in real life and in video game form.
It's one of life's greatest pleasures. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's the sport of kings. This is not that.
No. This is a non-game in the way that CDI games are not really games. It's
a step above a Tiger LCD. Like, in terms of gameplay.
Yeah.
Why is it's nothing? Like, yeah. It's a real nothing.
It plays like an FM, like the things that I have, you know, tested out, plays like an FMV. But it is very rarely that I've seen anything that is actually compressed video. Those are always like multi-disc affairs. You end up with pixel art animation.
Bad cartoons.
Yeah, bad pixel art cartoons, which is where you get the just hideous faces that you see like in Wand of Gamelon, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Which we'll have to do.
Yes.
At some point now that these are available. Mm-hmm. It's that, but like, imagine not having, so like Wand of Gamelon, legendarily crappy looking, mm-hmm. the CDI Zeldas, they're not this crappy, you know, like they still had some production value behind them because they were like, oh, we got the Zelda license.
Yeah.
This is, we got the Eugene Levy license. And this was at a time when the Eugene Levy license was rapidly dwindling in prestige. You know, as the American Pie sequel after sequel, where weirdly he's the only recurring element who's in all of them.
Yeah, like, this is so, it's weird because he has such a bifurcated career.
Yeah.
And not even like temporarily, not even
a bifurcated cock.
It's bifurcated, but not. Yeah, it's a little much. I was gonna, yeah.
Little joke about circumcision there.
But hey Gary, what do you think circumcision is?
It's when they take your cock and they turn into a hydra. For every cockhead they cut off, two more grow in its place, yeah. Until eventually you can become a one-man orgy of power.
It's like when they cut a hot dog like an octopus, so it doesn't choke. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna get this entire all of these sister wives Brigante through the power of Utah.
Gross.
Yeah.
But like, so yes, he was in American Pie and was big in there, and also like it fell to the depths of doing Gooby. He's the biggest name in the movie Gooby.
He's been goobed.
He got goobed, but like has existed simultaneously as a celebrated comedy actor. Like all that time he was doing Christopher Guest movies and was like a delight in them. And those are considered to be like all really good movies.
Good and kind of highbrow.
Yeah.
You know, good and kind of very specifically.
Yeah.
You know, smart movies.
Mm-hmm.
For smarties, like as an SCTV kind of guy, and he had his renaissance with Schitt's Creek, which everybody loves. Schitt's Creek. He just has a real weird middle period of just absolute garbagey trash, and I cannot stress this enough, he's not good in this.
No,
this, there's nothing redeemable about this. Like, you think, like, you know, we're gonna talk about how this is a really bad gameplay game, but it's not just that. It's all Eugene Levy, like the sweatiest Levy you could ever possibly have, improving kind of patter, but weird jokeless patter.
I mean, for just toothless stuff for kids. And then you realize, oh, you've not really heard a lot of voice performances from Eugene Levy because his whole thing exists in his face. Right.
Yeah.
Like that is a huge part of his, and it's not just the eyebrows. Like that's a huge part of what he does. And I know he's in the Finding Nemo stuff. Like they're like, he has that, but like, it's very on display here. Also given the material, which is real. Like, do kids know who Eugene Levy is? And this,
do they care? Like if you were to put a picture of Eugene Levy in front of 1,000 babies,
yeah.
Would one of those babies react? You know, this is the kind of stuff I want to do if our Patreon gets big enough. Like, These are the questions I will answer. this is where your money goes.
I really appreciate your grant proposal style phrase.
But yeah, he's just, it is in his face. He's capable of being very funny. Like he wrote a bunch of those Christopher Guest movies as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I have tons of affection for those. Those are great.
Yeah. But here he's just it's the American dream.
And you're number mortgage two.
Comes
yeah. after one, you yeah. know, it's like, well, that's not a joke. It's just the order of numbers that you're presenting in the cadence of a joke.
Yeah.
Like, here comes B. It comes after A. And I'm like, you can't say that like it's a joke, man.
No.
It's just a sequence. The next shortest thing is shorter on the list. Like, I don't know. Shut up. Like,
cram it, Levy.
Cram it. It's an immensely infuriating game. And then you play it, and it's just this horrible, like, timing thing. Like, mini golf is about timing, right? Like, that Simpsons, you know, the mini golf thing. Like,
yeah.
Lincoln's legs are going open and closed, and you hit it's not complicated timing. Nope. You shoot when it's closed, so it'll be open when you get there.
Yeah.
You know, there's mini golf, right?
Problem solved.
Yeah. Problem solved. This has this esoteric series of rules about timing to get it just not to bounce off of something and get a horrible little failure cartoon. Like, I fucking hate it.
It's a
horrible video game.
Yeah, it's not clear. So, like, okay, a game where timing is important, you would think that responsiveness would be a factor. Okay, so all right, I'm pressing the button right when a dog is running over the green. Okay,
yes.
So I got to hit that there. It is not taking into account precisely when you hit, because everything has to be pre-rendered and pre-drawn, so it is quantized very loosely. In a way that doesn't actually correspond to when you hit, or at least not visually. So, like, all right, I need to press the button when the dog is right over the green, so he won't circle back and cross over at that time. No, it doesn't matter if you press it right then, because it'll play the same animation over and over again for the failure. Gary, I pummeled that dog with I just fucking blasted that dog with golf balls.
Like, it was American Gladiator and you had the cannon that shot golf balls.
It's the dog eliminator.
It's the dog. You know, and not the dog eliminator who ends up on Nextdoor that we're trying to figure out the identity of,
or the dong eliminator, like you just said, which was my middle school bully.
The dong eliminator, or the dawn eliminator, which will show up if we say our prayers in reverse. But it ends up playing a little bit like a Dragon Quest, or not a Dragon's Lair.
Yeah,
it's kind of like garbage Dragon's Lair. You know, I end up having this octopus. You know, as I got to the underwater level,
that octopus is bullshit.
I could not get past this octopus who kept grabbing my golf ball and putting it into a treasure chest marked Davy Jones' Locker. That has nothing to do with Davy Jones' Locker.
Nope.
It's a treasure chest. They're different things, you fucking idiot. Like, there's no jokes to this. Like, it made me so mad.
The one thing I saw that made me smile was the train hole. Okay. Where you've got to shoot between the trains. If you mistime it and don't get the hole in one, you will end up on the tracks. And you have one shot to get over this little rail that is going up and down. Okay. If you don't,
I'm laughing so far.
If you don't, then a train comes and again just smears your guy, just blasts you, and then the next shot is taken in heaven. You are up in heaven. It's just a straight green, and then you putt along. You're up on the clouds, and it follows you the hole. And then it falls directly down into the hole on Earth, but it keeps going into hell and bonks the devil on the head.
That's cute.
Cute. It made me smile. It didn't make me laugh, but it went harder than I thought it would.
It's a little cute.
Yeah.
I'll give it that. I was really expecting there to be like a lot more humor in this.
Yeah.
Given that that's what they're selling it as.
I mean, as Eugene Levy.
Yeah. Well, and just everything about the tone.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at it, it looks like it's going to, like, this is a surprisingly non-wacky world. You know, there are like several of these that looked like they could just be like the biker one.
Yeah.
Which one, it's like, it, like when Eugene Levy is improvising, he says something like, keep out of my bike hole. Or something really foul. And, but two, it just like, it's just bikers moving back and forth that didn't feel any different than like cardboard cutouts of bikers moving back and forth, which is the kind of thing you might find at a high end mini golf place.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And like, so like one of them, just again, real wacky. One of the holes is just somebody's backyard.
I was really expecting more.
Yeah.
For some reason. You know, I don't really know why. I think I partly because golf games are one of the oldest types of games.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They all control the same way. Like we did our golf game episode and it's a don't mess with perfection.
Yeah.
Thing, right? Like you aim and then you do power. That's golf. And you choose club.
Yeah.
There's golf. Just deciding to eschew that is maddening.
Yeah, there is one layer on top of just the timing. Later on, you have to decide if you're going direction. To hit to the right or to the left.
Yeah.
For the first like six holes, you just have to hit straight. Yeah. But when you get to the Egypt hole, where they don't even do anything, it's just the holes that you need to hit through are just moving in the side of the pyramid. Like, make it snakes, you assholes.
It's so infuriatingly lazy, this game. And I felt bad for Eugene Levy because this was, you know, during his like, I'll do anything. The 25 years of his career, that he decided to do anything that they would offer him money for. But him just being like, hey, do you want to do a video game? Like, you'll have your name in it. It'll be about whack. It'll be a parody of mini golf. You know, you get to play as an anthropomorphic golf ball.
Yeah.
I could see it. The appeal. Like, I see how it's quality for Levy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's got quality on his end.
Yeah, quality on the Levy end, which as long as there's quality on the Levy end, I get it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm out. But other than that, like,
yeah.
Did you notice that if I looked at the wacky world of mini golf on Moby Games, or no, not Moby Games, the world of CDI.com,
okay,
which is a website that's a tribute to CDI games, which we'll have to use for future picks. Related items, the very first game that's on the related items section is a video game called A Child Is Born. Which looks like the weirdest fucking pro-life propaganda I've ever seen in my life on the CDI.
No, hey, it's infamous.
I'd never heard of this. You'd heard of A Child Is Born? How did you hear A Child Is Born?
I just read about it at some point when I was when I was reading about bad games. But yeah, it's real. It's an even more preachy McGee in me.
No thanks.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's not good, and it delivered on everything that I wanted. This was designed so Philips, like they tried, but it just turned out that the technology was bad. Like that, like you couldn't make good games with it, but like they invested, like they had whole, like this is an internal studio called Philips Sidewalk Studio that did kid games. Right.
Yeah.
So there's like a Berenstain Bears game. There's one like More Dark Fables from Aesop. Like it's an attempt. They got licenses. They have Richard Scarry's Busy Town stuff. Makes sense. But
I'm looking at this makes me, whenever I see one of these systems, I think like, what are the best games for it? And I'm not surprised to find Hotel Mario up there.
Yeah.
Because Hotel Mario, like, it seems like a fine, like a perfectly cromulent little puzzle game to me.
Right.
You know, it's just not a very good Mario game. And then they would also have, like, you could play things like The Seventh Guest.
Yes.
On this, like, things that built, it worked into its strengths.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that.
I had a neighbor who had a CDI, and he had, like a pinball game for it. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, made a certain amount of sense. I don't remember how well it played, but, you know, it was visually lush. Like, oh, it looks like a real pinball table. I'm sure if I fired it up, it would be fucking garbage. But also, like, there was educational stuff. Like, you got something that was like an encyclopedia of the human body. And so you would just like, okay, we're going to go down a blood vessel now.
Stuff. Cool and Carta shit.
Yeah.
If you wanted to pay three times the price of a computer rather than getting a computer.
Yeah.
Like for it. Like, I don't really understand why you would not, if you wanted, or not even three times the price. Like, it's not, that's, you know, exaggeration, but you want something with no functionality.
Yeah.
Like, it can only do Encarta shit and the worst games you've ever played. and no just, actual computer stuff.
It really only makes sense. Like it just, it doesn't make sense for a family. Like it makes sense as a classroom. Like, you know, that would be like, in an education setting, that's where a Philips CDI would have to go, but you're not going to sell them at scale.
Yeah.
Why can't there be a generation of children raised by the Philips CDI?
You mean the ideal humans?
Yeah, because the super soldiers?
Because
giants, everyone.
We strayed too far from God's light.
Mm-hmm. These are what I like to call new men. It's the new humanity that have been raised by the CDI.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Another thing I think that would work really well for this would be game shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think game show would be great on the CDI. And because I was recently in a hotel for a while, I watched a bunch of the Game Show Network. How long has it been since you've seen Family Feud?
You know what? I saw Family Feud when I was over at my parents' house pretty recently, actually. Okay. It was Steve Harvey Family Feud. So it was just not even concealed smut.
Yeah, it's all double entendre, and Steve Harvey just like pushing words out the side of his mouth. Like noises. Yeah. It's kind of amazing. Like it's a pretty fun show, I think.
Yeah.
I really like it. One of my favorite things ever happened on it when I was watching it. So okay. They were in the final, you know, the finale where you have to do the back-to-back questions.
Right.
And his family was doing really, really good. But they got asked a question, first family member, and they're like, what is something a magician is never without? What would you say?
Rabbit in a hat.
Fucking A, dude. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay. So the right answer is obviously cards.
Okay.
Don't be dumb. The first person said rabbit. Which had like three people said it.
Okay.
Right. The second person went rabbit and then went ding, ding, try again. He goes, a hat. And that had like less people. It was so fucking funny. Like the only thing they could imagine them having. I am shocked that you got the dumb, wrong comedy answer immediately.
I mostly, when somebody says magician, because I'm not as tuned into that world as you, when somebody says magician, I do think of the bad guy from the Frosty the Snowman cartoon.
Oh, yeah. But even like one of those little magic wands with a white tip.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots of things you could have. Dice.
Handkerchief. Coin. Yeah.
Handkerchief. Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful assistant.
Beautiful assistant. Libertarian. Party card, you know, bad politics, like there's a lot of things. Goatee, fedora, vest,
warrants in more states than not.
Yeah, family court receipt. Like, there's a lot of things you could have. But rabbit hat was a big bit of fun for me and Liv, and here you are just being like, yeah, that's me.
Well, I can't say I'm proud, but it's the funniest outcome.
It's pretty funny. I'm very shocked. It's very good.
I overthought it is the thing, you know?
Yeah. Which is the exact opposite of Family Feud.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're trying to get the common man. You don't want to overthink it. You want to just like, you know, be as basic as you can, which is why it's kind of fun.
It's one of Family Feud's traps, which is to get you to overthink it. And also they ask a question, okay, things that come out of a penis. And like, okay, I'm going to guess cum. And then Steve Harvey, you talk to your mom with that mouth.
Yeah, he kind of crumbles for a minute. He does a little dance. He kind of walks away for a few seconds.
Believe you said cum.
Yeah. And the question was television. Things that come out of a penis, you know?
Yeah.
He also, one of the questions was, name something a football player would wear to bed if you wanted to score.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's getting pretty tortured at this point. And one of the people said socks, and Steve Harvey dined on that for what felt like 20 minutes. It's a show where like there's no pacing or anything. Like there's maybe 7 minutes of content in the show and then 13 minutes of Steve Harvey just like dancing and crumbling, and like it's so amazing. He's at some point he's just like, you know, you're not married, you don't have kids, you don't know anything. Just yells at the guy to his face.
Feels like they should have cut that out, right?
It's very good. And I love how no host of that show, if you go back in time, none of them have been normal. Like, it's this weird freak show kind of thing. Like, we get Steve Harvey, who is the most normal, you know, and very charismatic. Like, yeah, I'm not saying I don't like Steve Harvey. Like, I was in heaven, like, watching it. I was just like, this is so funny.
Seems like a shitty person, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is there something I don't know? Am I handing it to a bad guy?
He's got bad. Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
A person could be entertaining and charismatic
I just didn't know. I had no idea. Previous to this, it was Louis Anderson, who, like, is very non-charismatic, I think. Like, I like Louis Anderson, but he's he talks like a, I don't know how you describe it. Talks like a rock tumbler. And then previous to that was Richard Dawson, who's just, like, literally fall down drunk.
Yeah, he was like groping, like he was
gropey, like this drunken lech.
Yeah, no, just like oh, and you know, and here's the lovely wife, and he just fucking checks her oil. Like it was
incredible shit, dude.
Yeah, you're missing one though. You're missing one.
Oh, who's Richard Karn?
Richard Karn. Between Louis Anderson and Steve Harvey, we had Richard Karn.
Yep, the only good one.
Yeah,
the only non absolutely terrifying.
presence. Just the non-threatening.
Yeah. The one non-threatening.
Probably to a fault. Yeah. Yes. I do not see him having the necessary. I can just see him being like, oh golly gee whiz, kind of stuff. It's just
he does seem really nice.
Yeah.
You know, he does it, but it's they didn't really like you need to have somebody who comes off as nice and threatening, but not directly threatening. You know? And you can see them kind of like slowly honing in on Steve Harvey, like through it, you know.
Yeah. It's like he's a big guy, but like what he brings is just a constant judgment. Is the thing, like that was always in the mix for a Family Feud, but like just you know, it's the fucking eye of Sauron,
except for Louis Anderson, who like I find his face entirely unreadable. Like, I don't know what Louis Anderson's thinking during those times. Yeah, I just know that he's got a really unpleasant voice and it's really weird that he has so many talk jobs, you know, like he's doing that constantly, just making grackle noises. What kind of fucking bird is that? No, it's Family Feud with Louis.
well, the birds outside are going fucking nuts.
I'm trying to get into Louis for some reason. He's what we call a human nest or a sky bride.
That was really good.
Oh man. Fucking grackle noises.
Family Feud's a good show. It's a very good
it's a well-designed game show.
Yeah
because it's a the concept of the passer play that you do is a really interesting choice. Like everyone always plays, but it's not always the right choice. You know, they do that because it's more exciting.
Yeah.
Like it's a cool, it's tactically cool.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, it's the same reason you get any advantage, which is like, no, I'm just going to let that guy go first. I'll let them make the mistake. Right. Yeah. Like there's very little odds that we're going to get the first one out the gate. So like their answer is going to help me calibrate. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, I kind of understand it. And that some of the questions you do want to calibrate, like they went in the episode I watched, or the episodes, one of the episodes, there was like, name a horror movie that is considered a classic. Okay. And they were looking for like Dracula and Frankenstein and shit.
Oh, I would have said like The Exorcist or something. Yeah.
The Exorcist number one, like obvious number one. Okay. But then they were looking for older stuff than that. You know, and somebody was like, oh, Scream. You know, and it wasn't. And then the other person who at that point should have calibrated, like, oh, they mean more classic than that. Somebody straight up said Saw 1, 2, and 3.
I'm MC Lethal Weapon 1, 2, and 3.
So good.
The Saw trilogy. You've really got to watch them all in one go.
Yeah. And stop there. After that, they're no longer considered a classic.
There's a distinct drop off.
No, I believe it, but also like it's not about what is a good movie. You know, name a horror movie that you like. Like, as a Family Feud question, very different.
Yeah, that's a weird question.
It's a really weird question. They've been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
Also, the weirdest fucking thing too about the Game Show Network is that they're still coming up with new game shows.
Okay. But
they have all these low rent ass hosts. Like, they're constantly doing these game shows where, like, the, you know, the highest prize you can get is like, you know, 10 grand. And they have real weird concepts, and they're called things like Mix Up and Slidecore and shit. And they have really cheap production values, and they're modern. Like, they're not old game shows.
Huh.
It's real weird to see.
I guess my question is, so like, when you say low rent hosts, because it's not very often that a game anymore, anyway, that a game show is the first place that you see somebody.
Yes.
Like, everybody that we named, you know, as hosts is
famous for other reasons.
Famous for other reasons. And then they settle into their game show era. Like, go get paid, get that money.
Yeah, right.
But so are you talking about like real, like, are they getting like tequila going in there? Is like Andy Dick hosting?
People I've never heard of.
Okay.
Yeah. Just names,
man.
You know, like, and it's hosted by this guy, and it's just like Guy Whitey Corngood.
Yeah.
You know, staying there, man. That kind of
thing. You know who would probably host one of those for real cheap? An influencer.
Oh, sure. Like, I'm influencer. Like, I would.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a retirement. Right? Can you imagine, like, what if we, I never even thought about that, but what if our trajectory was we got famous enough to eventually host one of these low rent, like, game show network things?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Hit me up. Yeah.
Hit me up. Man, we got to figure out a way to host a game show together.
Can we bend the arc of our career that direction?
Yeah. Maybe. Like, it's, man, somebody get G4 back.
Like, I mean, no, they brought it back, and then that's a story of it in and of itself.
Yeah.
Bring it back, but do it good this time. Now you know what not to do again.
The one thing you're missing is Duck Quiz or whatever the bullshit we call it. The Quack Quiz. Yeah, it's a really good. I think it's a great retirement plan.
Yeah, well, because like you knock out what, 5 of them a day for a week, and then you're done for half the year.
Yeah,
like
incredible. Yeah. You know, or you just work one day a week. Like, the show comes on every day, like A Price is Right. You just work one day a week.
Yeah.
You know,
it's pretty good. Beautiful. And, you know, fuck, man, love a game show.
Yeah. God, game shows are good. Game shows are so fun. Yeah. I'd love to be on a game show. Yeah. Thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
What else should they know and tell? And such.
Well, I would like to also thank the people who suggested this. We have Eric P, we have Z Chocobo, and then we have Sybil, who put this into the machine a long time ago, not expecting that we would ever be able to emulate it, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, look forward to more now that we have these weird avenues open.
I just changed my next pick to something that was originally released on the CDI, but I found out that it was released on Steam as well. So I'm probably gonna play on Steam because it's easier than, like, this emulation is doable, but it's also 74 cents on Steam. So that's a good price.
Yeah. But other stuff, if you like the show, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and you get bonus episodes of the show, 2 per month. And a whole bunch of other stuff at that $5 tier. Last year was really good for us, and it continues to be so good that we hired a producer. Everybody welcome Gwen.
Yeah.
acting as our producer and really helping us out.
Yeah, welcome to the team, Gwen.
Yeah.
If you join our Patreon at patreon.com/duckfeedtv and you sign up at the $10 level, not only do you get Adaptation Decay, which you've gotten for, you know, forever, that's not new. We're adding a new show to that, the Quack Stack, which is going to be a fun kind of goofy show similar to this, but with Gwen.
Yeah.
And it'll be host.
Yeah. So it'll be kind of just goofing around, catching up, talking about non-show media that we're consuming or stuff that we're doing. And then ranking things. We're gonna do top 3 rankings.
Yeah.
So,
and again, in a goof sense.
Yes.
So, you know, like, we could probably say our top 3 SNES games, but we also want to say, like, I don't know, top three, boy, put me on the spot like this.
that's why we're asking for,
that's why we're asking for suggestions. Give us your goofiest, stuff. Funny things.
Yeah.
I'm tired. our famous sign off. What should they do until next time, Cole?
Gary, until next time, they should correct themselves. A child is born is not an evangelical thing. It is literally scientifically showing how a fetus forms. Oh, it's educational. Yeah, I'm thinking of something different.
It looks like it's got the same font as a pro-life propaganda thing.
Yeah, and the fetus sucking its thumb is a real that's a real
It's like I do.
I cut.
it's like people.
Oh, good night.
Good night.